Welcome to the Radio 191 FM podcast.
You're tuned in to the R1 News, your stop for news and current affairs on the airwaves. 11 to 12 weekdays here on Radio 191 FM. Te reo irirangi kotahi.
Kia ora koutou, you are listening to the R1 News. Ko Aileen Aho. On the program I tēnei rā, Associate Professor Sergio Biggerman from the Department of Marketing at the University of Otago joins us to discuss the government's crackdown on the supermarket duopoly. Later, we're joined by policy planner at the DCC, Emily McEwen, to discuss the council's recently proposed changes to the second generation plan, which would see more dense housing in Otipoti. First up, we've got the headlines and weather.
The R1 News headlines.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern has today met with US President Joe Biden at the White House. Biden and Ardern discussed the war in Ukraine, the Indo-Pacific economic framework, and the climate crisis. Ardern said she was greatly heartened by the nature of the conversation, and that there was no need to discuss strengthening the relationship because the US and Aotearoa have a working relationship that is already steady. Te Pāti Māori has ruled out forming a coalition with ACT or National. Co-leader Rāwiri Waititi has accused ACT of emboldening racism across the country and refuses to work with the ACT party if its current policy course remains. One News and Kantar released polls on Monday that puts Labour at 35%, National at 39%, the Greens at 10%, ACT at 7%, and Te Pāti Māori at 2%. The election is still a year away, however, with current positions from the polls, both National and Labour would require a coalition party to get them into government. Mortgage applications have fallen more than 25%, with experts citing inflation and rising interest rates as the reason. The lending value for successful mortgages has fallen by 38%, according to credit bureau Centrix. Managing Director Keith McLaughlin says ongoing supply chain challenges, higher material costs and labour shortages are adding to pressure in the sector. And those were the headlines. Now, the weather. Otipoti is set to be partly cloudy with a high of 17 degrees Celsius and a low of 10 degrees I tēnei rā. Apōpō expect showers developing in the afternoon with northerlies turning southwesterly.
That was the R1 News headlines. Catch up at r1.co.nz/news or find us at Radio 191 FM on Twitter or R1 News NZ on Instagram and tune in to R1 News at 11 a.m. on weekdays.
Coming up, we speak to Associate Professor Sergio Biggerman from the Department of Marketing here at the University of Otago's Business School on the government's crackdown on the supermarket sector. But first up, here is Eli Superfly with Vicar.
Is dead. It's all in your head. It's all in
want to hear your thoughts. Text in to 0212 Radio 1.
You're listening to R1 News. The time is 11 minutes past 11. That was Molly and the Chromatics with Mad People. The government is cracking down on the supermarket sector as New Zealanders continue to face prohibitive prices at the checkout. On Monday, Commerce and Consumer Affairs Minister David Clark and Deputy Prime Minister Grant Robertson announced a series of measures set to shake up Foodstuffs and Woolworths New Zealand, whose current duopoly over the supermarket sector creates significant challenges for competitors wanting to enter the market, according to the Commerce Commission. Changes set to come in include a mandatory code of conduct for grocery retailers' dealings with suppliers, a wholesale grocery access regime, consistent pricing, and collective bargaining between grocery suppliers. To help break down what these new rules mean for the supermarket sector and everyday New Zealanders, we are joined by Associate Professor Sergio Biggerman from the Marketing Department at the University of Otago Business School. Kia ora, Professor. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks very much.
Now, speaking to Lisa Owen on RNZ's Checkpoint last night, you said that as consumers, we're not going to get any benefits from these changes. So why not? And if consumers aren't winning, then who is?
Okay, well, the recommendations of the Commerce Commission were pretty much around somehow encouraging the two existing duopoly, that means Foodstuffs and Woolworths New Zealand, to perhaps cooperate and sell some of their products to other retailers. And I've been qualifying this as naive because there's no benefits for them to do that. And perhaps it's because we need to understand that being a duopolist is such a great thing to be at. And they don't even need to break the law, as I already said. All they need is to behave as maximizing their profits. So expecting them to voluntarily reduce their profits, as I said, is naive. Whereas the government should think on, okay, what are the real barriers of entry that are preventing somebody else to come? And can they be lowered without putting at risk the consumers? But is there an option of looking at regulation and making it more accessible for other players, either big or small, but somehow increasing competitiveness of in the market is the only thing that will end benefiting consumers. Any other thing is just pretending to be doing something and not achieving anything.
And so if a lack of competitors is the key issue here, why is it that with the current duopoly, it's so difficult for competitors, big or small, to set up shop in Aotearoa?
Well, look, for a long time, that has been permitted. These couple of big players have collaborated, sometimes openly, sometimes without us noticing, but they were very comfortable with its situation. The overall story of land banking that has been now mentioned, they have created covenants on what could be built around their property, what cannot be built. And that has been permitted by someone, and probably with good intentions to strengthen the local industry, but has ended in this situation where we as consumers are now the people who pay for it.
Is it preferable to see big supermarket players such as Aldi entering the market or smaller independent supermarkets? Which is more feasible and which is going to drive down prices?
Look, the main point is to increase competitiveness. Once you increase that, and that truly means a third party collaborating and colluding, and I'm not suggesting they are breaking the law, but collaborating between two becomes pretty easy. When the third one comes in play, then even an economic theory supports that it's much more difficult to align in the same direction. So increases competitiveness immediately will draw prices down, because what is occurring at this moment is not a matter of cost necessarily, it is a matter of profit. And they have been qualified as excessive profit. And the two big players have not been able to say that's not true. They acknowledge they are eventually making a little too much money. So a third party, big or small, immediately increases competitiveness. Now, of course, a big one will have an additional advantage that will be their ability to cut costs low, to have the logistics that are necessary and all those things. And that's why we are thinking, okay, Aldi would be a good player, Costco would be a great player, anyone that has this scale to be also efficient, not only encourage competitiveness, but also be able to probably reduce their cost. But once again, the is not an issue of cost, it's mostly about excessive profit.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Professor. Really appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
That was Associate Professor Sergio Biggerman from the Marketing Department at the University of Otago Business School, speaking about the supermarket duopoly and the government's recent plan to crack down on it. Coming up, we speak to the DCC about its plan to increase medium density housing in the city. But first up, here is Heavy Chest with Essence featuring Tan Singh. You are listening to R1 News.
This is the R1 News on Radio 1 91 FM. Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi.
Find a way to discover there's nothing wrong. Find a way to recover. 'Twas there all along.
fire. Rain.
It's in the eyes of everyone. I feel it stirring inside. It's in the whispers of the tongue. I built a wall just to hide. I keep climbing cause I don't want to fail. I keep moving with the wind in my sails. The tide is taking far, my friend, beyond the clouds to the end. I'm looking far beyond here. It gets cloudy when we fall stress. We need the power.
It's in the song. You can't wait, you can't wait to discover, rain, that you're the one. Fire.
This is the R1 News on Radio 1 91 FM. Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi.
It is currently 26 minutes past 11. The Dunedin City Council has announced a new housing policy that will allow for 1,900 new dwellings over the next 10 years. Proposed changes to the Dunedin City Second Generation District Plan, which sets the guidelines for development in Otipoti, were released yesterday. Alongside a series of increased density zones in Dunedin suburbs, better provision for social housing, and allowing for smaller building sites and duplexes, the changes will set out requirements for stormwater management and new subdivisions. We are joined now on the phone by Emily McEwen, DCC Policy Planner, to discuss these proposed changes. Kia ora, Emily, how are you?
Good morning, I'm well.
Now, firstly, why do we need these changes? To put it bluntly, what's currently going wrong with housing and housing density in Otipoti?
So in the last few years, Dunedin's been growing a lot faster than it was previously, and Dunedin City Council has a duty to make sure that we're providing enough options for housing development. So in response to that increase in growth, we've proposed some changes to our district plan to make sure there's enough options out there for people.
And much of this proposal is about increased housing density, particularly in the suburbs. Why focus this on suburban Dunedin rather than, say, apartments in the city centre? The DCC says this plan will allow for downsizing, a growing number of one- and two-person households, and encouraging young people to stay in the city. Is higher suburban density the best way to do this?
So through our recent 2GP district plan changes, we did look at some changes for the inner city areas. So some medium density zoning was already introduced through that process, and some of those options are already being taken up by developers. So this round of changes was really to look a little broader than the central areas for opportunities for some intensification across the city. So these changes do provide that in a wide range of locations, so it will give people a lot more options in terms of smaller dwellings around the city.
And these proposed changes are targeted at new builds, thus they're more applicable to those who own property. What will renters get out of these changes?
So a lot of the changes are providing for smaller units, so things like ancillary residential units. So people that own a home in the suburbs and perhaps have some spare land at the back of the section, they would now be able to build an ancillary unit, and they could then rent that out to anyone who needs a home. So that could provide some good options in the future for smaller units, which at the moment there's probably not so much of in the rental market.
And will these changes allow more Dunedin residents to enter the property market? Is it going to make that more financially accessible?
I think possibly over time. I think one thing that these changes do provide for is for smaller dwellings and smaller sites. And naturally, a smaller property and dwelling may be of a lower cost, so that may enable more people to enter the market over time. It will increase the supply of housing over time as well, and that may have some impact on prices, but there may be other factors in there as well that do impact house prices.
And lastly, submissions on proposed changes close on the 13th of July. How can we make submissions?
So the submission process is now closed. So the changes that have been announced yesterday are the decision of the hearing panel. So these changes now have legal effect, and people can actually start relying on them to look forward to making new developments. So at this stage, there's an appeal period. People that submitted on the changes originally have the opportunity to lodge an appeal until the 13th of July, and anything that is appealed will go through an environment court process to resolve.
I see. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Emily. We really appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for your time.
That was Emily McEwen, DCC policy planner, discussing the proposed changes, or the confirmed changes, to the Dunedin City second generation district plan, allowing for greater housing density in Ōtipoti. Now here is Pop Strangers with Our Pigeons Doves on the R1 News.
Stories about the world. Tell me how it ticks and turns. Or will I ever learn? 'Cause when I look above, if pigeons are just doves, where am I? Sky. Everyone must live and die. larger stuffs. Where am I? I'm in the gutter. And when I look above, if pigeons are just doves, where am I? I'm in the
This has been the R1 News on Radio 1 91 FM. On the program, I tēnei rā. We spoke to Associate Professor Sergio Begeman from the Department of Marketing at the University of Otago on the government's crackdown on the supermarket duopoly, which Professor Begeman says will have no real effect on the cost of groceries. And after that, Emily McEwen, DCC policy planner, joined us to break down the council's new medium density housing plan. You can catch the R1 News every weekday right here on Radio 1, 11 a.m. till 12 p.m. And follow us on Instagram, R1 News NZ. Ko Aileen Aho.
You've been tuned in to the R1 News, weekdays from 11 to 12 here on Radio 1 91 FM, Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. Catch up at r1.co.nz/news or find us at Radio 1 91 FM on Twitter or R1 News NZ on Instagram.
Don't call, I might pick it up. You still push it. Some things in life are priceless. For everything else, there's New Zealand On Air, proudly keeping the good ship Radio 1 afloat for another 25 years.
I'd rather be hurt than be ignored. I'm running in circles. Throw this thing away, and I wanna. Radio 1 91 FM is proudly supported by New Zealand On Air. Cranking the cranks and pulling the levers so you don't have to. Cheers, gang!
Thank you. had to sign by Thursday night, or she'd be taking through people after the weekend. Marianne, it must be great to be a real estate agent. You decide who stays and goes on the street. Rent was always paid on time, and I haven't been here long. But the others are going on 5 years, and I understand supply and demand, but I also know what's right. And if you can't explain it in person, Marianne, that's not a good sign. I hate it when people talk like you've done something wrong, so they can justify treating you like a piece of shit. It's like the messiest kind of break up with the meanest kind of girl. Marianne, it must be great to be a real estate agent. You decide who's good enough for the street. From Hearn Bay, they're painting the houses whiter shades of white and putting up those Franklin Road fairy lights. Now I understand how a suburb goes from a slum to a snobville. It starts with Marianne Bates' realty. And I hope it's great to be a real estate agent. You're gentrifying me out of my streets. Marianne, it must be great to be a real estate agent. Marianne, I hope you get a wonderful sleep. Coming home.
This was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.